You are an 88-year-old survivor of the Holocaust from Hungary. Do you believe what's happening in Gaza is a genocide?
Don't talk with anyone who doubts it.
Your father was sent to a concentration camp.
My family lost 15 members to Auschwitz.
How did you come across the issue of Palestine?
As a result of my visit to Israel, to my horror, I found that every member of my family, they were all racist by then.
Towards Arab?
Yes.
What is it like to be a Jewish Holocaust survivor who is accused, I'm sure you are, of being anti-Semitic?
In 1944, what I saw then was a byproduct of two armies fighting. And what I see in Gaza is deliberate destruction. It's even worse.
What would you say to someone like Benjamin Netanyahu, who says, I'm fighting on behalf of all Jews? For more than 2 years now, supporters of Israel have insisted that calling what's happening in Gaza a genocide is a modern-day blood libel against Jewish people. To accuse Jews, the victims of the greatest genocide of all time, of perpetrating a genocide against others, well, that's offensive. That's anti-Semitic, they say. Well, is it? The consensus of genocide scholars is that it is a genocide. But who better to ask about the genocide in Gaza? Not a genocide scholar, but an actual Holocaust survivor. Joining me now is 88-year-old Stephen Kaposch. Stephen, thanks so much for coming on Zateo.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So you are an 88-year-old survivor of the Holocaust from Hungary, and you have been speaking out against what's happening in Gaza for over 2 years now here in the UK. You've become a very well-known activist at demonstrations, on the media.
Yeah.
Do you believe what's happening in Gaza is a genocide?
Absolutely. In fact, I think it is so obvious that I really don't talk about, don't talk with anyone who doubts it, because it's an absolute red line. It's so obvious.
You see people who deny the Gaza genocide akin to Holocaust deniers. You don't engage with them. They're deniers.
Yes. Yes. Correct. We have a small group, the Holocaust Survivor and Descendants Against the Genocide in Gaza. It's a long title, but it does explain what's on.
It's an important name, I think.
Yes, yes. And we, as you probably know, we stand by the side of the big marches, and we have extremely warm reception, invariably. People are sometimes quite moved by the fact.
That's strange. I was told all these marches are anti-Semitic.
Well, that's exactly what we are doing, denying by being there and give a lie to this claim, which is absurd, both that these marches are no-go areas for Jews or that these are hate marches. And we are you're proof against it, if you like.
You're there not just as Jewish protesters against genocide, you're there as Holocaust survivors protesting against genocide, which is obviously a pretty unique and sad position to have to be in. Let's just, for the sake of our viewers who don't know about you, Stephen, you, I believe, were 7 years old when the World War II reached your hometown of Budapest. You were forced to go into hiding. You were separated from your mother. Your father was sent to a concentration camp. Tell us a little bit about your childhood, about enduring the Holocaust. What happened to your parents? What happened to you?
Yes. In about October 1944, the Hungarian semi-fascist autocratic ruler, Admiral Horthy, made a declaration that Hungary was leaving the German alliance. He made that from his palace in the Buda Hills and was pretty quickly arrested by the Germans as a result. The Germans came in March 44, invading their ally. On the face of it, Hungary was an ally of Germany. From the declaration date onwards, the out-and-out fascist party, the Arrow Cross Party, took power, and they were allied with or organized marauding groups, armed groups, which were actually hunting Jews. So suddenly, from that date onwards, the jeopardy was much greater for the Budapest Jews.
Do you remember that period yourself, personally?
Yes, I do remember, because it was on that day, on the day of declaration, that I was taken up into these protected homes, I mean, inverted commas protected. And we had to go past a German checkpoint, and the German field guns were trained on the palace. Okay. As we were going past. I was being carried. I was too small enough to be carried. And the person who was sent down from the homes to take me up had some magical pass, which he just flashed to the German crew, checkpoint, the soldiers who manned it. And they just stood to attention and waved us on. I don't know what was in that pass, but I kind of fantasized that probably it carried Hitler's signature or something, because that was all. They just, they had one side of it and we were waved on. And so from that point on, I was in hiding.
But not with your parents?
Not with my parents. My mother was in charge of a group of girls, and my aunt was in charge of a group of boys that I was attached to. And we were all on false papers and were supposed to have been refugees from the advancing Soviet troops on the Eastern Front, and obviously Aryan. And so some of us were meant to be war orphans. Anyway, everybody on false papers and false names. And my aunt, who was in charge, we were not allowed to recognize the family ties, for example, as a security.
But you and your parents, you survived the Holocaust. Your parents survived the Holocaust also.
Yes.
Even though your father was sent to a camp, he was one of the lucky ones.
Yeah. Well, yes. He was part of the Kastner project. Okay. That's how I got to Belsen. And the idea was that those transports who were organized by Kastner with a deal with the SS were to be eventually allowed to go to Switzerland from Belsen. And the previous group did that, in fact. But the whole deal, where Himmler himself was involved, was behind Hitler's backs.
Okay.
And when he discovered it, he stopped the whole thing. And in fact, Himmler was very nearly arrested at that time.
So you say as a child you remember that period. It obviously influenced the way you grew up, influenced your entire worldview. I do wonder, how has your childhood influenced the way you view the genocide in Gaza today? Do you find that your own experience as a child enduring a genocide has made you identify more closely maybe with the children in Gaza? What do you make of what you've seen over the past 2 years? Liking this video? Then don't just watch, hit like, share and subscribe. And tap the bell so you never miss a video or live show. But if you want early access to exclusive content, then you have to head to Zatteo.com and subscribe now. You'll be supporting fearless, independent journalism.
Well, yes. There has been othering and discrimination even before that critical date. For example, we all had, from a certain date on, we all had to wear the yellow star.
Yeah.
And I had to wear a yellow star, despite my young age. And I do remember that. Most of my experience at the time was rather mild, because I was too young to understand the implications and the dangers. It was in retrospect that I sort of realized how awful everything was and how dangerous everything was. And of course, knowing that my family lost 15 members to Auschwitz. And that was an impact on me more than what I actually personally experienced. That was just
of course
part of it, if you like.
So how did you come across the issue of Palestine? How long have you been involved in Palestine activism?
Well, I think
you're 88 years young right now.
Yeah.
How long have you been involved in the struggle for Palestinian liberation as a supporter?
Well, first, I became, without sort of putting necessarily an active label on it, anti-Zionist as a result of my visit to Israel to visit my family. Some members of my family in circuitous way through Romania, ended up.
What year was that that you went to visit?
That was before the 67 war.
Okay.
Quite early. And I was completely shocked at what I found there. And this is, I think that was a critical influence on me. Because to my horror, I found that every member of my family, and a number of aunts and cousin, et cetera, they were all racist by then.
Towards Arabs?
Yes, as they called them, not Palestinians.
Indeed.
And that really both horrified me, and I couldn't understand how it could happen. I now understand more about the impact of drip-drip propaganda.
Yeah.
And also the kind of completely artificial fear that was created in them, that somehow they bought into the idea that unless they forcefully keep down the Arabs, they would be driven into the sea and the existential danger, which I am convinced was a complete lie.
Yes. You go there before the 67 war, before the occupation of West Bank and Gaza. Did you ever imagine at the time that one day you, Stephen Kaposch, former young child living through the Holocaust, would be at protests against Israel saying the world's only Jewish state is now guilty of a genocide?
No, I wasn't aware of it at the time at all. In fact, around that time, I wasn't particularly active in any way in politics because having come after the 1956 uprising in Budapest, where I was actively involved in the demonstrations, and actually the uprising the day before really started at my university. But I have been through so many political upheavals and changes that when I got to the UK in 56, I decided to concentrate on my profession rather than...
So how do you rediscover Palestine and activism? Is it more recently, in the last 10, 15
years? Well, I think the critical experience was first the false anti-Semitism campaign inside the Labour Party.
Okay, so the Jeremy Corbyn period.
That's right. When I was horrified by the complete cynicism and I think deliberate lies that surrounded that campaign using a false accusation of anti-Semitism against the left.
Yes.
And Jeremy Corbyn personally, but also his...
And which has now continued into a general attack on pro-Palestine activists as being anti-Semitic.
Yes. But that was the beginning of...
Interesting.
Of my...
Were you a member of the Labour Party?
Yes.
Are you still a member of the Labour Party?
No. this links to how I became active in the Palestine thing. Because I resigned from the Labour Party when, having been asked by a left socialist group, SLN, to address them about the Holocaust on Holocaust Memorial Day about 3 years ago. And I said, yes, of course, I will, because there are very few witnesses left.
Yes.
And yes, I will talk to them. They put out my name as being on a panel advertising it. And I immediately got a letter from the regional office of the Labour Party saying that, putting me on notice, that if I go ahead with that engagement, I would be, disciplinary investigations would start up against me. And I interpret that, knowing how those sort of things went in those days, as being thrown out.
Yes.
That could be no other
outcome. So you quit.
I immediately resigned with a letter, and that letter went viral because I ended the letter saying that maybe these techniques of false accusation of anti-Semitism, etc., will work electorally in the short term. In the long term, it will be a matter of shame for the Labour Party.
Well said.
That it had to be the Labour Party who imported McCarthyism into this country.
Well said. I like the idea
that went pretty viral.
I like the idea that an 85-year-old knows how to go viral.
Yes.
That's impressive.
I didn't know. It was just happened.
I'm sure you do. Let me ask you this. What is it like to be a Jewish Holocaust survivor who is accused, I'm sure you are, of being anti-Semitic? I'm sure there are other Jewish people in the UK who say you're a self-hating Jew. You know, Jews who oppose what Israel are doing, often demonized, smeared as self-hating. What is it like for you as someone who literally survived the Holocaust to be accused of that?
Well, I don't take any notice of it, to be honest. And the worst that I had was when I was speaking at a Camden meeting. While I was speaking, there was an anti-demonstration by Zionists, and somebody wrapped in the Israeli flag perched above me was calling me Kapo, Kapo, repeatedly. Wow. I didn't hear it because I was speaking, but other colleagues immediately reported this to the police who were present, and this guy was arrested.
It's interesting you mentioned the police, because I believe the Met Police here in London brought you and eight others in for questioning after you laid flowers at Trafalgar Square as part of a peaceful protest for Gaza. What did they bring you in for? What did they say you'd done wrong?
Well, this was a day when the police acted completely differently from normal. We kind of, I think it's fairly safely assume, because of suggestions from above, from higher circles.
But what did they say to you that they were, that you'd done wrong?
The claim was the same as against Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell, who were on either side of me in that particular demonstration. The claim was that we went against a police order for the day, which was to remain static.
Okay.
Instead of marching, the original idea was to march towards the BBC to protest against their distorted
coverage.
Yes, and the police banned this in the last minute and said, "No, you can't march. Well, you got to be static at Whitehall."
And they took in an 88-year-old Holocaust survivor. What do you make of all these police rounding up of hundreds of Palestine Action protesters, little old ladies, grandmothers, priests, people in wheelchairs, blind people, a Labour government sending the police to do this? Did you ever think you'd see that in your lifetime as a survivor of fascism?
No, that's absolutely amazing. It's an own goal, actually.
Yes.
And I am amazed at the capacity of the government to create own goals one after the other. They will never give up. It is going to be... There already was some 2,000 people in total have been so arrested, and it will continue, and it will. It's unmanageable.
It's very authoritarian.
Yes, well, that's one of my themes actually. That as a conclusion from what I witnessed and so on, that fascism develops in stages, and it doesn't drop out of the sky.
Yeah.
And I think we are kind of dangerously on the way to various fascistic qualities. And we have to resist that.
Yes,
right
we do.
Now.
On that note, when people say, for example, Donald Trump in the United States, what he is doing resembles what Germany looks like in the 1920s, 1930s. Absolutely. Is that a fair comparison?
Absolutely. And also, I am very active to repeatedly try and break the taboo against comparison with the Israeli actions, with the Nazi actions.
So the IHRA definition, as you know, of anti-Semitism,
that's a catastrophe.
Very controversial definition of anti-Semitism, says comparing Israel's actions to the Nazis is a form of anti-Semitism. You reject that?
Absolutely. It's a taboo which must be broken as often as possible.
Do you think Israel's actions in Gaza are comparable to the Nazis?
Yes, I think so. In quality, not in quantity, because we are not yet in,
thankfully,
and hope never will be in the millions.
Well, Israeli soldiers are on record telling the Israeli newspapers, "I felt like a Nazi in Gaza." One of them told an Israeli newspaper.
One of the comparisons I have is in 1944, the winter of 1944. We were not only in hiding, from October to liberation, but also in double jeopardy, because it so happens that where the homes were was where the epicenter of the final fight between the German army and the Soviets was played out. And the front line moved through us. And we had to relocate several times in double jeopardy.
Okay.
Sometimes we were shot at because they couldn't distinguish between groups
of course.
Dots in the snowfields or all around. And so when it was over and we finally came out of all that and looked around, because this is not typically was the greatest area of destruction, because it was the final fight, because Budapest generally wasn't so destroyed, it was just in pockets, but just there it was absolutely horrendous, with the royal castle burnt out, piles of rubble and glass and burnt out tanks and dead horses and dead soldiers and abandoned ammunition. Looked just like Gaza in certain shots.
So you're reminded
with
of
the
that.
Difference, with the difference I keep pointing out, that what I saw then was a byproduct of two armies fighting. And what I see in Gaza is deliberate destruction. It's even worse.
Wow. There are a lot of people who will hear you say that and be outraged. A lot of Jewish people will say it is anti-Semitic. They will say it's over the top. You obviously have the privilege. It's a horrible privilege, David. I shouldn't use the word privilege. You have the horrible right to speak on this as a Holocaust survivor. You can say certain things that other people can't say by virtue of the fact that you did survive the Holocaust. But let me ask you this. What do you make of the battles within the Jewish community over this issue? I know you sometimes go to protests with your daughter and your granddaughter. Do you see a generational change amongst British Jews when it comes to Israel and attitudes to Israel?
Yes, I think it's growing. And I protest against, and we all protest, left-wing Jews, protest against the Board of Deputies and the JLM. And
these are British Jewish communal organizations.
Claiming that they speak for the Jewish community. There isn't a homogeneous Jewish community. There are Zionist groups, and there are completely different socialist left-wing Jews. And they, the Board of Deputies, don't speak for the whole community. It's a myth that there is a so-called Jewish community. There are several communities.
But you would accept you're a minority within the British Jewish community.
Well, I'm not so sure about that.
Interesting.
Actually, I'm sure others have done research, etc. But in the circles where I move, the left-wing view is dominant. There are those Jews who say always with the oppressed, never with the oppressor. And there are many who subscribe to that.
What would you say to someone like Benjamin Netanyahu, who says, I'm fighting on behalf of all Jews?
It's a propaganda claim. You know, it's false, completely false. I heard him speak in a snippet at Yad Vashem when he said, never again is now. With a reference to use again the Holocaust for a cover for a basis for the impunity that they seem to have or claim. And for us, never again has a completely different meaning, the left Jews. We think that the conclusion from never again is that this kind of horror of the Holocaust should not be ever visited to any other nation or faith or group or ethnicity.
And it has been done to Gaza by Israel.
And yes.
Stephen Kaposch, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Did you like this video? Don't forget to subscribe to this YouTube channel and turn on notifications. For exclusive content and to support our independent, unfiltered journalism, head over to zateo.com. Your support matters.